Thank you, ladies. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to have Brother Imboden's father with us, Pastor Larry Imboden. Good to have you with us again tonight, brother. God bless you, Brother Terry's sister, Tammy, visiting from California. Good to have these folks with us tonight in the service. We're glad that they're here to worship with us again tonight. I want to talk to you tonight out of the book of Proverbs about a very important subject. Of course, if it's out of the Word of God, it's going to be a very important subject because everything in the Bible is important. It's a subject that you don't really hear talked about too much except for in jest, and people kind of joke about talebearers and gossipers. And I'm going to tell you something, God doesn't joke about it though. Gossip ruins people's lives. Tell-bearing and gossip, fault-finding. These things ought not to be named among the believer. And so I want you to give me your undivided attention, and I want you to listen very carefully. God judges that sin. So I want to give you some wisdom from the Word of God about how to get along with others, how to get along with people. Now, there's certainly other ways than what I'm going to give you tonight. There's more things involved in this. But this could work in the home. It could work in the church. It can work in the business. It can work in the community. I just want to talk with you out of the Bible on how to get along with other people. How to get along with people. Seems like we live in a day where there's so much contention and malice, and there's just fighting and bickering, even among the brethren. I'm always reminded when I hear the brethren bickering and fighting among themselves, I'm reminded of when Abraham went down into Egypt when there was a famine in the land back in Genesis chapter 10. And of course, you know the story how that he took Lot with him and why they were in Egypt, which was not a good place for them to be, by the way. It was a test of Abram's faith, and he failed that test. He was just getting started in his journey with God, and God grew him. But nonetheless, he went down to Egypt, and when they came back, they had a lot of cattlemen and herdmen, and they had a lot of cattle with them. And the Bible says there in Genesis chapter number 12 and chapter 13 that there was a contention between them. And that there was a contention between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen, the cattlemen of Lot. And the Perizzites and the Canaanites, they were watching. See, those lost people were watching to see how Christians were going to handle their differences. And wasn't working out too good until the senior spokesman, Abram, stepped up and he said, "You know what? These things just ought not to be, for we be brethren." What a statement. You know, there's just some things that ought not to be for the simple fact, no other reason, it's just we're Christians. We're brethren. We do things differently. We don't duke it out and fight it out and slander. Well, I was just having a conversation with Brother Corey. Listen, the person who calls the nastiest names or speaks the loudest, they're not the winner. That's the way the world looks at things. The shout down matches and the name calling, that's not the way that we as Christians handle matters. So I want to talk to you about guarding your tongue and guiding your tongue. So write that down, okay? I want to talk to you about guarding your tongue and guiding your tongue. There's power in the words that we say. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can go through the book of Proverbs and you can mark the word lips, mouth, tongue, and you'll find that that usage of those words are at least 150 times. God has a lot to say about our speech. As a matter of fact, James, writing in his epistle, said that as believers, we ought to be slow to speak. Did you get that? Slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. And yet we live in a day where people just fly off and say, "I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell them this, and I'm going to tell them that." We need to think before we speak. And we need to speak with grace. Paul wrote in the book of Colossians that we ought to season our speech with salt. We need to be mindful. There are people that are not in church tonight. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, but I want to tell you, maybe you know some of them. They're not in church tonight. You know why? Because some professing Christian started gossip, tail-bearing, backbiting, started talking and running them down, and it hurt them. It left an indelible impression upon their heart, and it hurt them. And it hurt them deeply. And they're out of church now. Now, I don't want to be the cause of that, and I don't believe you do either. And yet there's an enemy that wants us just to open our mouth and let anything come out. Just not filter anything. Just let it all out. The Bible teaches against that. Jesus said that we ought to guard our lips. He said that you need to take into account, as we shall see in the scripture tonight, that one day we're going to stand before the God of heaven, brethren. I'm going to stand before the God of heaven, and He is going to record and review every word. I'm going to give an account of every word that comes out of my mouth. That's sobering. That's sobering. Every word we're going to answer before God one day. And so in a society and in a generation where people are just saying whatever comes to the forefront of their mind and comes right out of their mouth, let us be careful. Let us be mindful that our words can do a lot of damage. You know, when I was growing up, and I tell my Sunday school class this quite often, when I was growing up, and possibly most of you too, when I was growing up, there used to be this little jingle, this little rhyme that people attached to, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Baloney. Baloney. You could take a stick and you could whack somebody across the back. Now, don't do that. I mean, some of you's probably, you know, think, don't do that. And if it leaves a mark, that mark may go away in 24, 48 at the most, depending on how big the stick is and how hard you whack them. 72 hours, gone. But you can talk about someone and start a rumor, gossip, and it will follow them to their grave. So don't tell me sticks and stones may break your bones and names will never hurt. Names do hurt. Putting down people and gossiping and starting lies and tale-bearing, those things hurt people. And you and I need to be cautious, because the devil tries to suck us in to those kind of conversations. Now let's see what the Bible says, okay? We're going to turn in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to get some wisdom. Isn't that what he said here? He said, as Brother Brian read in your hearing, he said, get wisdom in verse 5. Get understanding. Neither decline or turn away from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. All right? Wisdom is the principal thing. And he said in verse number 7, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I want to try to give you some wisdom on the proper usage of your speech. And I hope you'll get some understanding tonight that it is important. It is important the way we conduct ourselves and the things that we talk about and the things that we say. Some things just ought not be repeated. And if you're one of these that stir up drama and tale-bearing, I'm going to tell you, stop it. Stop that. Now, I don't have anyone in mind. I just know how we are. And I said we. Okay, I know how we are. I know that the tongue can be a weakness. Listen, I doubt we could line up and at the door and ask people on the way out, do you smoke cigarettes? I doubt they'd probably a very low number, other than maybe a couple of our deacons. No, I'm just carrying on. I'm just carrying on. All right. I doubt we could line it up. So, do you smoke cigarettes? No, we don't use tobacco. Do you drink alcohol? We don't drink alcohol. Do you gamble? No, we don't gamble. And we think because, you know, we've got those things down. Listen, you shouldn't do that. Amen? You shouldn't do that. Those kind of things shouldn't be named among the children of God. Amen? However, somewhere, somehow, we've gotten to the place where we think that it's okay to besmirch someone's character, to gossip and to tell bear, to start rumors. It's come to my attention that those are the things that people and some of our younger people in this generation think that's it's cool just to start rumors and to besmirch and to belittle people in their character. That's not cool, young people. That's sinful. It's sinful. And it ought not be named among you. It ought not be named among you. That's sinful. And don't you participate in that. Don't you participate in that. It's wrong. What's the Bible say? Well, number one, guarding your tongue. Do it with persistence. You're not going to listen to this message tonight and go home and get victory over this. It's a daily fight. It's a daily fight. Listen to me now. You're not going to listen to this message and say, well, I got the victory. I'm not going to say anything I shouldn't say anymore. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to take the principles that I give you from the Word of God and then add to them and say, God, would you help me? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't want to say something that would hurt somebody or cause somebody to miss out on God's will for their life, maybe even get out of God's will. I don't want to do that, you see. I want to be cautious. I want to be careful. I want to be mindful that the things I say carry weight and it could hurt somebody. Now, the flip side of that, the things that I say can help people. That's what I want. I want to edify, don't you? I want to edify people. I want my speech to exhort and to encourage, not to tear down and discourage. So listen carefully. All right, turn in your Bible, if you would, to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. When I was a kid, now, someone asked me and Sharon today, excuse me, someone asked us today, who's y'all's doctor? I said, we don't have one. And they just looked, hey, what? We don't go to the doctor. Right now, we don't have a need to. Now, that could all change. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. You say, well, you don't believe in doctors? I didn't say I didn't believe in doctors. I said, don't go to them. Don't have a need to right now. Now, that may all change, all right, before the rapture of the church. It may all change. I don't know. And if it does, then okay, we'll line that up. But I remember as a boy, when we'd go to the doctor, one of the first things that doctor would do when I was just a kid now, he'd set me up on that table, and he'd say, stick your tongue out. Remember that? As a boy. And he'd take that little probe into, and he'd press down on your tongue and look back in there. You know why? Because doctors back then, and perhaps they do now, they knew that your tongue could tell a lot about your physical health. Can I tell you, according to the Bible now, and I'm going to show you this from the Scripture, your tongue says a lot about your spiritual health too. It does. Your tongue says a lot about your physical health, but your tongue says a lot about your spiritual health too. Because Jesus said that it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. See, if your heart's clean, clean things come out of your mouth. But if your heart's dirty and defiled, dirty things come out of your mouth. Right? Listen, a spring can't produce good water and bad water. Not the same spring. James said that. And so if your heart is pure, good things are going to come out of your mouth. You find somebody where bad things are coming out of their mouth, guess what? Bad things are in their heart. Listen to me now. Listen to me. When bad things start coming out of people's mouth, you mark it down. There's bad things in their heart. And the Bible teaches that. Proverbs 13, look if you would in verse number 3. Just going to give you some biblical principles here about let's really guard our speech. And it's something we all have to work on, okay? You'll never, listen, whether you get up in your 60s, 70s, 80s, you'll never ever get to the place to where you won't need to apply these principles. There's always a temptation to say something you shouldn't say to someone you shouldn't say it to. There's always a temptation to do that. And so we need to really, really guard and say, God, help me now. Help me. I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to get involved in other people's dirty laundry and sharing things. I want to stay focused on edifying people. And I want to stay focused on encouraging people and not spreading this stuff. And it can happen. See, people take falls and people mess up. Well, I want to be there to reach out a hand to help them up, not run around spreading it and telling on everybody. Amen. See, one of the first things that happens when a Christian messes up is somebody thinks it's their business to go tell everybody, hey, did you hear somebody messed up? Well, guess what? That's not the first person messed up. You should not be concerned about them messing up as much as you are about you helping them get up. Reach out a hand and help that fallen brother. Isn't that what the Bible says spiritual people do? It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Galatians 6:1. Restore. Reach out a helping hand to a fallen brother. And say, brother, listen, I don't approve of what you've done. Don't even know all that you've done. But what I know, I can't approve of sin. But I can tell you this, I love you. And I'm here to help you. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help restore you any way I can. Help somebody. Don't run around spreading it around everybody. That's not helping anyone. Proverbs 13, verse number 3. The Bible says this. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now there is a good principle to live by. You ought to keep your mouth. Guard it. That's what that word keep means. Guard it. Protect it. Keep it. Pay attention to what comes out of it. Don't just open it up and let the first thing that's willing to come out, come out. Filter it. Weigh it. Is that what the Bible says? Sure is. This is for all of us now. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a problem with this. Maybe not today, but tomorrow's another day. All right? Proverbs 13. You read that. All right, now look at this. Proverbs 17. Just going to give you some Proverbs. Going to help you in the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs 17. Look at verse number 28. Proverbs 17, verse number 28. Every time I read this particular proverb, I always think of the story of the old country fella who stopped by the country store, and there was a couple old fellas sitting out front, and he went up, boy, he was a tourist, and he just went and he just started talking to them about everything, and they were sitting, didn't say a word. And the guy just talked on and on and on. Minutes, 5, 10 minutes went by, and he was still just, you know, talking. And he said, hey, he said, is it against the law to talk around here? And they said, no. It's just if we're going to break the silence, we want to make sure we're improving on it. You think about that for a while. If you're going to break the silence, make sure you're improving on it. This is the way the proverb says it. Look at it, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. What are you saying? It's saying that if a fool could keep his mouth shut, he might could fool a few people, as long as he kept his mouth shut. Is that what it says? Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips he is esteemed a man of understanding. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 18, verse number 21. And I just wrote down some of these, okay? Proverbs 18, look at verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Be careful what you say. Guard your lips. Guard your mouth. Guard what you say. Don't feel like, well, I've just got to add to this. Somebody walks up and they say something about someone or something, and you just feel like, well, I've got to add my 2 cents worth, or I've got to add to this. Listen, the Bible says it's good just to be silent sometimes. Just because you know it doesn't mean you have to speak on it. Amen. Did you know the Bible teaches, as we shall see here in a minute, the more we talk, the deeper we dig a hole for ourselves to fall in. We'll see that in just a moment. Look at chapter 18 and Proverbs 18. Look at verse number 6. Proverbs 18, verse number 6. The Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So here we've read just some scripture that tells us, be careful what you say and who you say it to. And we all have to guard our lips, guard what we say, guard your speech. Sometimes, though you may think you know all the story, you don't know all the story. Amen. So you may think you know all the story, but there may be a side of this that you don't know about. Just be silent. Be silent. So the Bible teaches here that we ought to guard our tongue. Refrain from getting involved and being sucked in to these conversations. Here's a saying that I wrote down. Be careful of the words you say. Keep them soft and sweet, for you never know from day to day which ones you will have to eat. You ever said something, the time it got out of your mouth, you could have reached out and grabbed it and just swallowed it back. I mean, you knew before it got out of your mouth, good, I shouldn't have said that. Right? You ever done that? Yeah. You ever been involved in a conversation when you walked away, you just felt like dirt. So I can't believe that I got sucked into that and that I said some of the things I said. Think. That's why who we spend our time with it's important that we monitor and evaluate who we spend our time with and not get sucked into that. And there's no harm in telling somebody, hey, listen, I don't want to talk about that. Okay? Brother Terry's my friend. I don't want to talk about that. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Right? Brother Matt's my friend. Now, you may not see eye to eye Brother Matt, but Brother Matt's my friend, and I don't want to talk about that. As a matter of fact, if you've got anything you need to say to Brother Matt, I suggest you go to him and say it. That's the Bible way. Right? You practice that, I will guarantee you. I've had people tell me through the years, well, you know, preacher, they just come to me and tell me. I wonder why. Just seems like they want to come to me and tell me. I wonder why. Why are they choosing you? They wouldn't choose you but just a couple of times if you handled it right and just told them, look, I don't want to talk about that. Okay? It's not my place to get involved in Brother Eddie Yancey's business. If I've got something I need to say to Brother Eddie Yancey, I'll go to Brother Eddie Yancey. And if you've got something you need to say to him, you go to him. Now, brethren, isn't that the way that God wants us to handle things? How many churches have been destroyed because people just talking about things most of the time they don't even know what they're speaking about? They've heard something or something's in the wind or they think they know, and then all of these things get built up. And then, you know, I think when we were children, we all played that game. I don't know what it's called, where somebody says something to you and then you say it to the next one, right? And then they say it to the next one. And by the time it gets around, it's something that's not even, listen, it's not even close to what it started out to be. How do you remember playing that game when you were younger, right? Okay, can I tell you, it's still that way as an adult. So when you hear something, just remember, there's probably been something added to it. And if you're not careful, when you repeat it, you're going to either leave something vital out or put something unnecessary in, so that by the time that it gets to other people, this person who really done something that they regret they've done, now they're made a villain. And they feel like, I can't face God's people. I can't come back to church anymore. That's not the way that people should feel when they do wrong. You know the first place people ought to feel like they can come and get some help when they've let God down and sinned against God? Right here. But if a church, and I'm not, listen, this is preventative, okay? I'm trying to help us. When a church falls to the place to where it just talks all of our conversations about the sin or the wrongdoing that's going on in other people's lives or this or that, whisper and talking and just sharing things that shouldn't be shared, before long, the church is going to take on that testimony. And people's going to know that and know, you know what, I've messed up. I go back there, I'm liable to get crucified. Right? God never intended it to be that way, brethren. Never intended. The first place, if you mess up, now I hope you don't, but I'm going to tell you something. Better men and women than us have. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that. Better folks than us have. So don't think, well, preacher, I'll never mess up. Well, I hope you don't. But don't think you can't. And if you do, run right here. You ought to be able to come right here and say, I need some help. I need some ministry. I need some understanding and be able to get it. If you can't get that, brethren, we're failing. We're failing if we can't offer that to people who have gotten out of line and fallen off the cart. Say amen with me now. And yet, the average church, and I don't know what that means, but the average church in our country today doesn't provide that. Somebody messes up, they're ready to kick them to the curb and finish them off. That's not ministry. That's not ministry. God help me. I pray to God. Listen, I'd never want to get to the place where people say, oh, I can't go talk to my pastor. Because he just kicks people to the curb when they mess up. Don't you be known as that kind of Christian. Be compassionate. Love people. You can still take a hard stand against sin and stand for what's right and have a heart this big in your chest, amen? You can still love people and stand for what's right. You can still have conviction and be compassionate. We got to watch this with our lips now, all right? All right, now, number two. Not only are we to guard our lips. I'm going to tell you what I read. I like this. You've never seen a fish on the wall with his mouth shut. Now, I'm not a fisherman. But, you know, I have kind of noticed that. As I go around and folks have their fish mounted, I don't think I've ever seen a fish mounted on a wall that had its mouth shut. So you might ought to keep your mouth shut. Amen? Yeah. Guard your tongue. Number two, guide your tongue. All right? Now, let's look at these scriptures. Proverbs 18. You still there? Proverbs 18. Look at verse number 4. Proverbs 18, verse number 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Guide. Let what comes out of your mouth be encouraging. Let it be a wellspring. People, let people gravitate to you. Say, I want to hear what this man's got to say. I want to hear what this lady's got to say. I like when I get around this brother. He encourages me. Or I like when I'm around this family. They build up. They don't tear down. They build up, right? You want to be known as that. I want to be known as that. We want to be known that way. Now, I'm not saying that you can't point out sin, but even when you're pointing out sin, even when you're confronting and holding someone accountable, you can do it with love. You can do it with love. The Bible says, speaking the truth, Ephesians 4:15, in love. And so here, let the words of your lips be as a wellspring. Also, turn if you would to Proverbs 15. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse number 28. Proverbs 15, verse number 28. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, the scripture says, the heart of the righteous studieth how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. See, when you want to do right, when you want to help people and build them up, when you want to edify, you study the matter before you just blurt it out there. You think about it some. How many times have I, to my dismay, have I said something and then said, no, I should have thought about that before I said that. You know? Sometimes we feel like we're pressed. I've got to answer, right? I've got to say something. When maybe we should just say, you know what? I really don't know about that right now. Let me ponder that for a moment. Let me study on that. Let me give that some prayerful consideration, and I'll get back with you. Amen? Is that what the Bible's teaching here? It is, brethren. So see, we guard our lips, but we got to guide them too. We have to think about before we speak. We just can't just put something out there to be saying something. And that's what the scripture's teaching, Proverbs 15 and verse number 28. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 10 just for a moment. I've got a few of these, and we'll turn to a couple other scriptures, and I'll be done tonight. Proverbs chapter 10, and there's so much in this section of scripture that I'm not going to go through it all, but I want to show you, I want to highlight a few things. You ought to read Proverbs chapter 10 in its entirety sometime. It deals a lot with the mouth, and all through, listen, I could just show you, let me show you something, okay, to get you started. Look at verse number 6. The latter part of that verse says, the mouth of the wicked. Look at verse number 8, but a prating fool shall fall. You know what prating is? It's a babbler. Okay, when someone's just prating, it's babbling. It's nonsense talk. Prating. Verse number 11, the mouth, it also closes, covereth the mouth. Verse number 13, in the lips. Verse number 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth. Verse number 18, I'm sorry. It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he uttereth. Verse number 19, in the multitude of words. The latter part of verse number 19 says, his lips. Verse number 20, the tongue. You see, that's what this chapter's about in Proverbs. The mouth, the lips, words, speech. And we're being admonished. Be careful how you speak. Be careful what you say. It's important because people are listening, and the words that we use, it can help or it can hurt. It can build up or it can tear down. So be really, really careful of how you speak and what words you use when you're speaking. You might think it's funny, but there may be something in that person's life that we don't know anything about. And when that is said, it tears them apart. It brings them down. It discourages them. And as Christians, we don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to be a part of that. And I know you don't. But we've got to, listen, we've got to guard. We've got to guide. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 10, we'll read verse 19 through 21. It says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Now think about that for a moment. You're not careful sitting around talking. You'll get to talking and then talking a little more, then talking a little more. And you get a little bit out of bounds, and before you know it, you'll be way out of bounds. Right? Yeah, that never happened to me, preacher. Yeah, I know. You're so spiritual and all. I doubt it has. Sure, it's happened to you. It's happened to all of us. And there's just a time where you have to say, we've got to cut this off right here. This is not going in a good direction. Amen? This is not going in a good direction. So he said right here, look at it. This is the Word of God now, the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And there's not a whole lot of commentary on this. This just commentates for itself. Truth stands alone, brethren. Said in verse number 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Look at verse number 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips, verse 21, of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Guiding. It's important. I'll give you a couple more, and then we'll turn to Matthew and close out. Proverbs 21. Look at it. Proverbs 21. Look at verse number 23. Now, there's certainly many more proverbs that deal with the mouth, the tongue, our speech. Proverbs 21, in verse number 23, the scripture says this. I'm going to give you an opportunity to find it. Proverbs 21, verse number 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now, you think about that. There's people that will turn on their bed and just, they don't have any peace, they don't have any resolve in their heart because they've said things they know they shouldn't have said to people they shouldn't have said them to. And they have guilt and shame. They have to confront those in their own soul. And that's what the Bible's saying here. It's saying when you've said things that you shouldn't have said about people, you shouldn't have said it about two people, you shouldn't have said it to, it says it's not going to be well with your soul. And I think we've all experienced that. So let us be careful. And then finally, here in the book of Proverbs, before we close out in the book of Matthew, this is probably the greatest warning. Proverbs 26, I want you to turn there. One of the things that I think destroys churches, it's not mentioned enough. It's the subject I'm going to speak to you about right now, right here. It's tale-bearing. It's talking about things that we have no business talking about. Some people, there's a lot of names for it now, you know, drama. You know, people call it drama, whatever, okay? It's sin, it's what it is. We can, you know, we have this fancy way of painting up and candy coating sin, don't we? I mean, we've got now what we can call a murder abortion. Well, that sounds nice. You know, a drunkard, well, an alcoholic, right? That's right. We've just got all these ways that we can make things sound acceptable. They're not committing adultery anymore. They're having an affair, right? Yeah, even in our churches. We've just got names that makes everything sound okay. I'm going to tell you, sin is never okay with God, brethren. Sin is never okay with God. Sin is ugly. It's wicked. It ruins lives. It ruins lives. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin my life. Sin is destructive. And we need to understand it. And this sin of tale-bearing, is a terrible sin. And if you've become involved in it in any way, I'm asking you to confess it as sin and move on from it. All right? In any way. If you've become involved in it, move on from it. Look at what the Bible says here. We'll start a reading in verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Well, as a pastor, I've been doing this for 33 years. When I see something that just continues on, I know somewhere there's a talebearer. Somebody keeps feeding this situation. We've got to find this and snuff it out. We've got to find the source. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. The coals, as coals to burning coals, as wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Talebearing. Hey, have you heard? Hey, did you know? What do you think about old so-and-so? Cut that out. Cut that out. Pray for people. Pray for people. So sometimes, preacher, there's people that do wrong. Well, don't tell me about it. Tell them about it. Amen? Don't take this wrong now. But don't be a coward. Don't run to everybody else except for the person who said it. This man right here says something that I don't like. I'm going to tell him about it. I'm going to do it in love, but I'm just going to tell him. Hey, Brother Corey, I see this going on. I think you and I need to talk about it. I'm not going to tell him about it. That's not going to solve anything. Right, brethren? That's not going to solve anything. And yet it happens all the time. We think it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. It creates a grievous atmosphere. The Spirit of God is greed. It creates guilt and shame and unrest in our own soul and in the fellowship of God's people. Let me close out with this, all right? So I just wanted to give you some good scripture on, let's keep our speech clean. By the way, while I'm saying that, I mean that. Keep your speech clean. I'm shocked at some of the language that people use these days. Hey, we're Christians. The Bible says that no corrupt communication ought to proceed out of our mouth. Stay away from this gutter language. Amen. Stay away from this stuff. You say, well, I hear it down at the job. I hear it down at the workplace. Well, leave it there. Amen. Yeah, there's just some things that people shouldn't be saying. You're a Christian. Season your speech with salt. Use kind, uplifting, clean words. Not some of this gutter filth. Why? Because if you're using that stuff, it means it's gotten into your heart. I'm going to show you what I'm saying, then we'll close. Matthew, turn there. The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Someone has said the tongue can be a blessing. The tongue can be a curse. Say, my friend, how are you using yours? For better or for worse? How are you using your tongue? Uplift people? Edify people? Encourage people? Or to tear down and use just language that ought not be named among Christian people? We're Christians. And just because these folks out here listen to this garbage gutter music and watching that filth on television and movies, listen, they might use it there, but you ought not be using that. Hollywood may use it, but we're Christians. We don't use that language. Amen. Don't use that stuff. That's filth. That's garbage. Leave it there. Leave it there. Matthew 15. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 10, when Jesus called, Matthew 15 and verse number 11, when Jesus called the multitude, he said, hear and understand. Kind of sounds like what Solomon said, right? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Hear, all right? He said in verse number 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. All right? You see what he's saying? It's what comes out of your mouth. Why? Well, he goes on to talk about it some. Look, if you would, in Matthew 15, notice if you would in verse number 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. What do you think about that? So I use dirty words, preachers, because your heart's dirty. I say mean, nasty things, preacher. It's because your heart's got mean, nasty things in it. That's right. That's what this book right here teaches. And the book's always right. The book's always right. God's never wrong. The Bible's always right. And Jesus said, if your speech is dirty and your words are unclean, it's because there's dirt in your heart and you need to get that cleaned up. You want to clean your speech up? Clean your heart up. Right? Amen. Verse number 18, he said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So those are the thoughts that God laid on my heart. I have other things, but I'm going to stop right there. I will say this. I like what our former president, Calvin Coolidge, made this statement. He was the 30th president of the United States. He was a conservative Republican. And Calvin Coolidge made this statement. He said, I have never been hurt by anything I didn't say. Now think about that. That's a wise man. I've never been hurt by anything I didn't say. It sounds like Mr. Coolidge had learned that there's just a time not to say things. You'll fare better by just not saying anything. Oh, you might want to weigh in, but think it through. Think it through before you do. All right? Let's stand to our feet.